be afraid of the dark. Just relax and let the darkness fall over you.
Welcome to Afraidish, a podcast where every four episodes we venture into a new state and take a deep dive into the history and paranormal while enjoying some tasty adult beverages. From ghost sightings to hauntings, urban legends and cryptids, let's get weird and afraid-ish together. Hello and welcome to episode 12 or episode 4 of Kentucky. I'm Paul.
And I'm Ashley.
It's been a while.
Yes, it has.
It's been about a month.
Yeah. Yeah, lots happened. We got a kitty cat.
Yes.
A little black cat named Itis. And her name is Itis. It, depending on the name dictionary you look at, it either means island goddess or goddess of good fortune. When I chose the name, I chose it because it said goddess of good fortune. And, you know, she's a black cat. People think black cats are bad luck. So I wanted to name her something that meant good luck.
Yeah, she's so cute.
She is. She's the best.
So, we haven't recorded because basically all of November was Black Friday for me.
Yeah. If you guys don't know, which most of you do know because you work with him, Paul's mailman. So this is the time of year when mailmen don't have time with their families. You know, all the holiday shit that you guys love to do. Yeah. No, mailmen don't get to do that.
Well, we get to have holidays together. I was off Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you get Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah.
And that's it. But, like, festivities-wise, going to see Christmas lights, going to take your kids to see Santa Claus, Christmas parades, Christmas festivals, you're pretty much out for the count on all of them.
Yeah.
It sucks.
It's pretty crazy. It's a job, though. Pays the bills.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like I said, we're in the last episode for Kentucky, and I think our next state is going to be pretty exciting because what's going to happen next month?
Are you just going to tease or are you going to say?
Should we say?
Well, you can say what state.
Well, we're going to do Arkansas next.
Yeah, and everyone's like, Arkansas, exciting.
Well, it is for me and us. Well, because... Black Friday, Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs had a crazy deal where you get any night in January, because it's the off season, for $75 a night at the Crescent Hotel.
Yeah, that's the big haunted. It used to be a sanitarium.
Yeah.
Sanatorium.
I don't know.
Sanatorium.
Yes.
Tuberculosis hospital. And so, you know, those haunted.
I've been there several times and I haven't stayed there, but I've done a tour there. I've had massages in the New Moon Spa.
The way that you said that, I've had massages there.
What?
Nothing. So what's funny to me is when Paul and I found out that we were pregnant with Keegan, he wanted to take me down to Eureka Springs on a day trip. So we drove down that day. We didn't stay the night there or anything. And it was in the off season. It was about March, something maybe like February. Because I found out I was pregnant with Keegan in January. And we went down, we walked around. We went to the Crescent Hotel and like walked around. And I went into the spa, the New Moon Spa. And I was not an esthetician at the time. I didn't know shit about skin. Didn't even wash my makeup off at the end of the day.
Oh, by the way, Ashley's an esthetician. I don't think we've ever mentioned that.
Okay. Anyway, I went to the New Moon Spa, like walking around. For some reason, he was looking at something else. And I was like, ooh, there's a spa. Let me go look around. And I don't know if I'm just misremembering it, but I felt like I had super like bad vibes down in that spa. Like
down the hall from the morgue. So
yeah, I was in there for like 2 seconds and then had to walk out. And I, like, just the little entrance, which is set up like a little skincare spa boutique type thing.
Yeah,
It was just weird. I remember, like, I gotta get out of here.
I don't know. I had fun.
Yeah, no, it was a great trip. I'm just saying, the spa. And now as an esthetician, I think back on that and I'm like, it's just kind of funny that I got a bad vibe in a spa of all places.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and get started here.
Okay.
Here are another 5 fun facts about Kentucky. Number 1, the United States Bullion Depository, often known as Fort Knox, is a fortified vault building located next to the United States Army Post of Fort Knox, Kentucky. It is operated by the United States Department of the Treasury. The vault is used to store a large portion of the United States gold reserves, as well as other precious items belonging to or in the custody of the federal government.
Yeah, so nothing.
Well, it currently holds roughly 147 million troy ounces, or 4,580 metric tons.
Says who?
Of gold bullion.
Says who? Who says that? No, I'm just saying, there's like a huge conspiracy that Fort Knox is empty, and like one time they went down to like show people, look, there's gold. They opened a door and it was just like a wall of gold, but none of the, like, they only opened one door, and who knows if that was just like, here's a couple rows deep, not a whole room. There's
so many conspiracies about that.
I'm just, I don't know. I don't know.
That's about over half the Treasury's stored gold, supposedly. And the United States Mint Police protects the depository. They have their own mint police.
It's just funny, because you're, like, I know what you're saying, but I'm picturing police with, like, peppermints on their caps.
Andy's mints.
The mint police. Here's an after-dinner mint.
All right, number 2. The locals consider Owensboro to be the barbecue capital of the world, and when it comes to barbecue, mutton is often the preferred choice of meat.
I didn't know that! I want to try mutton so bad!
Owensboro also holds an annual international barbecue festival each May, but the famous barbecue this region is known for is available any day of the week.
Yum. We need to go there.
Yes, we do.
I love barbecue. I just love barbecue. I don't care if it's Texas-style barbecue, St. Louis-style barbecue. Not a fan of Carolina barbecue. It's a little vinegary for me.
Yeah.
But I'll eat it. She's inside the couch.
You hear scratching or whatever. She's like in the couch, under the couch, scratching the couch.
Yeah, she's between the floor or the couch and the dust cover that is supposed to be attached to the couch.
All right, number 3. To this day, Kentucky's governors must swear an oath before taking office that they have never fought a duel with deadly weapons.
Fuck. Wow.
Yep. Oh. Number 4. Traffic lights were invented by Garrett Morgan, a former slave from Paris, Kentucky.
Wow.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Number 5. Students at Lexington's Transylvania University enter a lottery for the chance to spend the night in the on-campus tomb of a 19th century botany professor.
How did I know that this university existed?
Don't know.
I would have gone to college! That's the world pretty cool. Failed me hard.
All right.
Oh, I gotta know more about this college. Fuck the podcast. We gotta go to college.
All right. Let's get into my story. Mm-mm. No?
No. I have a story.
You do?
I do.
You go first?
But I need your help with it. It's not done. Can you give me a part of the body, plural, please?
Oh, my God.
And don't say boobs or balls.
Legs.
A person's name, male. It says person in room, male, so that would be Paul. You. An adjective?
Bald? I don't know.
Okay. A noun?
Table?
Person, place, or thing. Table? An adjective?
Messy? Is this your story?
This is my story. Another adjective.
Sly?
Sly. Mr. Branham. A plural noun.
Cups?
Keegan's better at this than you are.
I know.
Part of the body.
Finger.
Adjective.
Pretty.
Seriously. Plural part of the body.
Eyes.
A noun?
Dog.
A number?
12.
I was thinking 11.
Ah.
An adjective?
Clumsy.
All right. My story is called Confessions of a Vampire's Girlfriend.
Nice.
I'm not going to be able to make it through this. I can already tell.
First of all, she said she had a story ready, and I assume that she did research.
The moment I set my legs on Paul, I knew we were meant to be. He was everything I wanted. Tall, dark, and bald. But love at first table isn't always picture messy. The first time he gave me a sly rose, one of its cups pricked my finger and drew blood. While I tried to find a bandage for the wound, he followed me to the bathroom, only to let loose a pretty hiss, revealing his sharp eyes. Luckily, he was able to restrain himself, but that's when I realized this hunky dog wasn't your average teenager. I had fallen in love with a 12... Oh my god, we're gonna get in so much trouble. A 12-year-old vampire!
Well,
and I was clumsy to be alive. Okay, let's assume he was like 12 years a vampire.
Yeah.
No, I thought this would be a funny little segment for the podcast.
Yes.
I thought it would be, if you don't like it, we don't have to do it again, but I bought like two of these paranormal themed Mad Libs.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
It's different.
I saw it on TikTok. There was a comedian who has a podcast, and she would have her guests fill out a Mad Lib, and it was flipping hilarious.
That's pretty cool.
So I was like, you know, I don't have a story, but I can make one.
Yeah. All right. Ready for my story?
Yes.
All right. Now let's travel to the oldest bourbon bar in the world.
Cool.
The Old Talbot Tavern. It is located at 107 West Stephen Foster Avenue in the heart of downtown Bardstown, Kentucky, situated on the corner of Court Square. It is a six-room bed and breakfast that serves classic Southern food. The tavern is listed on the National Register of Historic Places.
Sweet.
Here is some history according to Talbot. It's weird to say because it's Talbot Tavern.
Mm-hmm. Talbot Tavern.
TalbotTavern.com. The Old Talbot... God damn it.
Like the episode of The Office where she's like, the Halberts are having a reception next door.
I keep wanting to say Talbot.
Yeah.
The Old Talbot was built in 1779 and has been called the oldest Western stagecoach stop in America. It was a haven of hospitality to those sturdy pioneers who carved an empire out of the threatening wilderness. From its simple, rough beginnings, the tavern mellowed with the years, typifying the gracious living that burgeoned in the Old South. The thick Flemish bond, stone walls, the deep window casings, heavy ceiling timbers, and built-in cupboards strongly remind one of the Warwickshire Inns in England. The cooking was done in two fireplaces in the rear of the original section. Traces remain of the staircase to the loft where men were housed in one of two rooms and women in the other.
What if you're married?
Well, I don't know. Well, the practice of giving individual rooms to guests was not introduced into the United States until about 1805.
Okay.
I didn't know that. It's pretty cool.
I didn't know that, but it's just, it's interesting to think about the things that we view as commonplace when they were new.
Yeah. The tavern is located at the Young West crossroads where the post roads north, east, south, and west met, caused every stagecoach to stop at its door. Here, the grateful passenger found the cheer and warmth while horses were changed for the long trip ahead. So basically, anyone going any direction, they have to go through that area. Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know,
it's like the 18th century version of a gas station. Yeah. Or 19th century. Are we in the 1700s or the 1800s?
1779.
Okay, so both. So, 18th and 19th centuries.
Yeah, when they built that, they knew, okay, we can make some money because this is basically the crossroads.
Yeah, it's like the gas station.
Yeah.
You gotta fill up your tank with gas, you gotta get a new horse so it doesn't keel over and die halfway through your trip.
Yeah. Through the welcoming portals of the old tavern, there passed a long procession of statesmen, soldiers, adventurers, artists, and rulers. Andrew Jackson knew of the warmth of the hearth fire in the central room. There, Henry Harrison found cheer in its friendly atmosphere. General George Rogers Clark used the tavern as a base. Provisions and munitions were brought overland from Virginia and stored in the cellars of the tavern. This is one of my favorite parts right here. The exiled King of France, Philippe, Duke of Orleans, arrived in the tiny village of Bardstown, Kentucky on October 17th, 1797, after notoriously bedding his way across Europe, and out of favors there, he decided to give the United States a visit, including Nashville, Tennessee, which led to his stopping at Talbot's, where he took a suite of rooms upstairs. Some say it was Louis himself, others a member of his entourage who painted a series of murals of a French garden on the walls. Louis was quite taken with art, as well as Bardstown itself, as he donated a series of paintings to the local cathedral. The notorious 19th century outlaw Jesse James was known to spend a fair bit of time at the Talbot Tavern. He's also the first person known to report a ghost under the roof.
Wow.
Yeah. Jesse has a reputation as a good man caught up in the bad situation, but that's mostly legend. He took part in the Civil War era Centralia Massacre in Kansas, where he was among those who dismembered and scalped many of the victims, and is believed to have taken part in the Lawrence, Kansas Massacre, where 200 men and boys were killed without mercy. James was a Southern sympathizer, and it was this cause, as well as an overly developed sense of vengeance, which led him to kill a bank teller during one of his first robberies, mistaking him for the man who had killed one of his superior officers during the war, which I mentioned that in, was it episode 2 of Missouri?
I don't know.
When I did Jesse James Farm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, yeah, I mentioned that he mistakenly killed the guy, thinking it was a different guy and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He rode a wave of publicity, becoming tied up with the resistance to post-war Reconstruction, even donning Ku Klux Klan robes for his first train robbery.
Gross.
Yeah. It was a train robber which Jesse developed his reputation for being a modern-day Robin Hood, refusing to rob the passengers and only helping himself to the contents of the safe. But it should never be forgotten that Jesse James, despite some kindness in his nature, was also a cold-blooded killer.
Mm-hmm.
Not a Robin Hood type.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And according to Bardstown legend, fond of his bourbon, Jesse James had several relatives in the area, including a cousin who worked as a jailer at the old jail next door to Talbot's Tavern. James visited the jail more than once to hang out with his cousin, who went on to become a well-loved and respected sheriff and was known to rest and drink safely next door. One evening, when Jesse was well into his cups, after retiring to his bed, he was startled by something unusual in his room. Some say he believed he saw an intruder in the room, fired at him, only to see the figure vanish. In another, one of the murals painted by the French came to life, which caused Jesse to go for his gun and fire at the butterflies flittering over the plants. Regardless
was
of what...
Was he drunk or was he on something else?
He was drunk.
Or was he on something else?
I don't know. According to this, he was drinking a lot of bourbon. Regardless of what he thought he was firing at, the result was bullet holes in Louis's murals.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. And they're still there. They're still there today.
Oh, cool.
Yep. Yeah, something happened to him, but I'll get there.
Okay.
During his visit to Judge John Rowan at Federal Hill, now my old Kentucky home, Stephen Collins Foster knew the charms of the inn. Abraham Lincoln, at the age of 5, stayed at the tavern with his parents while they were involved in a land dispute.
Ah.
The Lincolns lost the case and, as a result, moved to Indiana. John Fitch, the inventor of the steamboat, spent many hours in this old tavern. During the latter part of the 18th century, this tavern was the Old West end of the stagecoach road from Pennsylvania and Virginia. The Western Herald published in Bardstown on September 23rd, 1829, carried the following advertisement. Chas Holloway, having returned to the old stand formerly occupied by R. Head, west of the courthouse, has one of the largest, best constructed, and most convenient hotels in the place. The stable corresponds in size and convenience of patronage and to customers and the general to pledge himself to devote his whole attention to render their situation comfortable and agreeable.
Wow.
The eastern end of the building was first erected with its two-footed walls of solid stone, later a western wing of brick, and the connection wing with verandas was added. This brick section was added sometime in the early 1800s. It is in this portion of the building that Alexander Walters was born. Walters, one of the co-founders of the NAACP, was born in the kitchen area to his mother, who was a slave.
Hmm.
It has been said that she went right back to work after giving birth.
Yeah,
wow. That is insane. Those were the crazy days. In the final addition of the building, which was done in the 1960s, is the most western part of the property. It originally housed a drugstore. In the course of history, this ancient hotel has borne many different names. It was called the Hines, Bardstown Hotel, Chapman's House, Shady Bower Hotel, the Newman House.
I'm sorry, but I don't want to stay at a hotel that has Shady in the name.
Yeah.
Who are the Bowers and what are they doing that's so shady?
I don't know. Old Stone Tavern. You didn't let me finish. But anyways,
sorry.
Old Stone Tavern. And today is recognized as the Talbot Tavern.
So what was its original name? The first one on the list, or... Is Talbot Tavern the original name that they've reverted to modern day?
I think it might have been the Hines. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm terrible. Anyways, the tavern today stands as one of the oldest buildings in Bardstown. Where automobiles go today, stagecoach drivers once cracked their whips. When visitors walk into the Old Talbot Tavern, there's a feeling about the place. It's well kept, but the passage of time is evident in a few creaking floorboards. There's an air about the place that speaks of people who have come and gone, spending time in the pub and retiring to their rooms before an early morning departure. The old stone reminder of Bardstown's beginnings still welcomes visitors to the bustling downtown area. Since the late 1700s, the Old Talbot Tavern on Court Square has provided shelter, food, and drink to Kentucky travelers. One of the most famous visitors of the Old Talbot Tavern was Daniel Boone.
Oh.
In April of 1792, he was subpoenaed to give his deposition at the Stone Tavern on the Court Square. At this time, the courthouse was not used because it was under construction. William Heavenhill, an early owner of the property on which Heavenhill Distillery is located, was a frequent patron of the tavern. Mr. Ed Shapiro, who organized and started up Heavenhill after Prohibition, often had lunch at the tavern. The father of the present owners of the tavern was Mr. Ed's paperboy just before World War II. William Samuels and Leslie Samuels, who were master distillers of Maker's Mark, were good friends of the Talbots and valued customers of the tavern. William Samuels and Leslie Samuels are the father and grandfather of the current Maker's Mark president, Bill Samuels.
I'm not a fan of Maker's Mark. I'm less a fan of Jim Beam, though, so.
Yeah. Few families have owned the Old Talbot Tavern since its construction in the 1770s. T.D. Beam, brother of Jim Beam.
I'm fucking psychic.
Speaking. purchased the Old Talbot Tavern from the Talbots in 1916. He continued to run the establishment until 1926. Tom Moore's family purchased the tavern from T.D. Beam in 1926. They owned it until 1964. On March 7, 1998, a new chapter was written in the Old Talbot Tavern's history. The tavern suffered from a devastating fire.
Oh.
An early morning blaze destroyed the roof and most of the second floor. The main floor suffered from smoke and water damage. The well-known murals suffered from heavy damage and have not yet been restored.
Fucking fire.
Yeah. That's the that's the only time that that tavern is ever shut down.
Really?
Yeah.
So fire is a sensitive subject for us right now because there was a very historic house that burned down in our town, in our historic downtown, just the other day.
Yeah.
From an electrical fire. It was a Victorian house that had been divided into apartments.
Yeah.
And not well kept.
That's sad.
Yeah. Fucking fire.
A lot of those old houses on Walnut Street. Yeah, very pretty.
Yes. Oh, someday.
The tavern underwent a long period of rebuilding and finally reopened its doors in November of 1999. And like I said, that's the only time that tavern ever closed.
Wow.
And now for the hauntings.
Yay!
The Old Talbot Tavern has always been known for the ghostly stories told by the locals and some guests. The most famous ghostly visitor is supposedly Jesse James. Another is the Lady in White.
Always a Lady in
always
White.
Always a Lady in White. Or
a Lady in Blue.
Yeah.
Or a Lady in Black.
Yeah.
Just a lady in a color.
They always appear as apparitions. The other stories include round balls of light or orbs moving around the rooms in the middle of the night or flashes of light without cameras.
Huh.
More stories include movements of objects without any cause, such as forks and glasses on dining tables moving without anyone touching them, keys disappearing from the front desk and showing up down the hall on the floor later that day.
They got pixies.
Yeah. Furniture has been known to start jumping up and down without any reason. Some have seen shadows walk out of dark corners into the light before disappearing. The sounds that are most heard are music, clocks chiming out during late night hours, doors opening and closing when no one else is in the building, and lots of footsteps all hours of the day. Knocking at doors with no one there when you open to see who is knocking. Knocking at doors with no one there when you open to see who is knocking.
I got what you meant.
An old piano was heard playing by itself, and voices calling out from empty areas.
Hmm.
A former bookkeeper tells this story. One night while closing, she started up the stairs to take the money to the safe and was frightened when she saw a man standing in a long coat walking across the top landing. About the same time, the cook came from the kitchen and also saw the stranger.
Oh.
They both were surprised because no one else was supposed to be in the building. They went upstairs and followed him through several rooms and eventually saw him go through the fire escape door. When the bookkeeper and cook went to open the door to see if he had gone down the fire escape, he was standing on the landing. He
behind turned them? Huh? Or outside?
Outside on the landing.
Oh, okay.
On the fire escape.
Sorry. Because she spotted him on the landing, so I was like...
Yeah, and when they opened the door, he was still there.
He was
there.
Standing
there.
Yeah. Okay.
He turned around to face her and started a hideous laugh and then disappeared right in front of their eyes.
Ew.
About 3 weeks later, she was watching a special on TV and they showed a picture of Jesse James. She grabbed her husband's arm and said, "Oh my God, that is the same face I saw the other night when the man disappeared."
Oh.
Since then, they call him Jesse James.
Okay.
Two other employees have claimed to have seen this man walking in the halls at different times. I'm not disputing her word, but I can't figure out why Jesse James would haunt this old building. He did come to Bardstown to visit family and his cousin Donnie Pence, who was the local sheriff at the time. Local lore has it Jesse stayed at the tavern and he left bullet holes in the wall to prove his visit. These bullet holes did survive the fire.
Wow.
Several people, including myself, have seen the lady in white. On one occasion, a couple left in the middle of the night because of the terrifying experience with the lady. Later, they called back to tell us why they left. They both woke up at the same time to see a lady in white hovering over them. She was looking down at them, and then she turned and floated out the window beside the bed. That was enough for them.
Yeah, that's really no good.
Yeah. During the day, when I have been getting the dining room ready for dinner hour, I have seen, on three occasions, a lady walk through the Audubon dining room. When I would go check to see who was there, I could never find her. She was always dressed the same. She was thin, long brown, wavy hair, and had a long white 1800s dress. A few months before the tavern burned, I was told that one of our guests was asking to speak to the manager. When I met with the guest, he asked me if our rooms are haunted. I asked him why. He told me that during the night, balls of light hovered over his bed and then bounced around the room, waking him.
How do balls of light wake you? Like, are they super bright light or are they going boing, boing, boing?
I'm guessing the brightness. I don't know.
Hmm.
He said that some of them were different colors, like red, yellow, and white. At one point, he tried to get up but felt as if something was holding him down.
That's sleep paralysis. Yeah.
He said it was like electricity running through him without pain.
So you hallucinate during sleep paralysis. He was hallucinating.
Yeah.
At least he didn't see a demon. I'd rather see balls of light when I have sleep paralysis.
Yeah. He wasn't the first one it happened to. I was told the TV would come on and off all night, and the heater was constantly turned up so hot they couldn't sleep. They would get up and turn it down and then wake up again with it too hot to breathe. If you encountered a ghost at Talbot Tavern, would it make you afraid-ish?
Just might, especially if it was hovering over my bed while I'm trying to sleep. Just don't wake me up while I'm sleeping. Nighttime, off limits for ghosties. Daytime, fine. Evil, laugh at me all you want. I'll just laugh back. Well, probably not. I'd probably shit my pants. But.
Yeah. So, yeah, I hope when we go to Eureka Springs, we...
see a ghost.
See a ghost or catch something on video. Maybe even record something down there. I don't know.
So there's this app called GhostTube. this Australian woman and her husband, well, mostly her husband, designed this app. She is like a YouTube ghost hunter. Her channel is called Amy's Crypt.
Oh, yeah. I've seen you watch that.
Yeah. And she came up with the idea for the app, and then he executed it. And it's called GhostTube, and it's got an SLS camera, which is the one that maps, like, a stick figure.
Oh, yeah.
If it detects a humanoid.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So maybe we should download that app, and we should go ghost hunting while we're down there.
That would be fun.
Little.
I can't wait.
Whatever we can do and get away with.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
No, but I was knitting and I was supposed to be purling, so.
Oh my gosh.
There's that.
You and your knitting.
Well, I'm trying to make a shawl by Christmas. And I'm not a knitter.
Anyways. I know that next month when we go to the Crescent Hotel, it's going to be fun.
Yes.
And hopefully we get something for the podcast.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
If you don't follow us on Instagram, you probably should do that because...
I haven't posted in a while. I've been just really crazy busy.
But if if we go down to Eureka Springs and we want to maybe post some videos or something on Instagram, they should be following us so that they can see those videos when they get posted.
Yeah, and if you have any stories or requests of anything you want to hear about, or if you know anyone who does, please email us at afraidishpodcast@gmail.com, Instagram and Facebook at afraidishpodcast, and Twitter at afraid_ish. Visit the website, afraid-ishpodcast.com. All the links will be in the show notes, and pics will also be posted on social media for the stories. And as always, don't be afraid of the dark.
Be afraid-ish of what's in it.
Bye.
Bye.